This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
10 toes down when you standing on business. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, my dudes, my dudettes, my amigos, my amigettes. Happiest of happy Thursdays to you. Spectacular to have you here. This and every glorious morning with which we spend... With which we spend it, that we spend together, whatever you want to call it, however you want to say it. Happy Thursday. I'm glad you're here. We are glad that you are here. Hope that you are well. Hope that you're having a lovely day. Hope that your week, as we conclude it and move towards the football weekend, is going as swimmingly as you'd like for it to. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure is mine. Sitting directly across from me on the other side of the metaphorical glass, the man that is in charge of this program. He is the Michael Jordan of sports talk radio. He is Tom Brady. I don't know how he's going to take that.
Yeah, I'm better on the radio than he is.
It's so true, but he's got seven and we've got three. You have like 15.
Yeah, I've got more than that.
Okay, I'll take it back. The Tom Brady plus Patrick Mahomes of sports talk radio.
You can just call me the Joe Montana, the greatest of all time.
Yeah, let's not go bananas with it. I mean, let's not go cross up. Is Joe Montana in that discussion? Like, honestly, like genuinely in that discussion?
Always will be for people my age, and should be forever until Patrick Mahomes passes him up.
Mm. So why not Brady? Because Brady passed him up a long time ago.
He cheated.
Oh, got it. Okay. I just want to make sure I got my rose in a duck here.
So as far as we know, Joe Montana and Patrick Mahomes have not cheated.
Joe Montana was your quarterback, you idiot.
Tom Brady not only cheated, he got suspended for it.
Okay. Whatever you wanna get to. Good with me. We'll stick with the Michael Jordan of Sports Talk Radio. The great Milanzo's here. What up, Zoe?
Hi.
Ah, that was pleasant.
Yeah,
that was nice.
I'm 2 days from vacation, so
I've got
vacation brain.
Senioritis.
No, vacation brain.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not. Oh, see, it's senior as in a senior in high school,
yes.
Not a senior as in senility.
We've talked about this. Yes, senioritis meaning, hey, it's my senior. I'm graduating in a few weeks. Who cares? I don't have to try anymore. Right? Vacationitis senior, not your old and falling apart, Lonzo. Just.
Which is accurate, but still.
I didn't say that. Just you've got vacation, nary but 8 more hours of sports talk broadcasting away, and you're locked in, and it's totally understandable if we're keeping it a buck.
It's 7 hours and like 57 minutes and 2 seconds.
Is Thanksgiving next Thursday? Holy crap, it is.
It is.
How are we here already? How did we kicked off the football season a week ago.
Rivalry week is next weekend. Looking forward to that.
Really pumped about that noon kickoff of Clemson and South Carolina. Are you guys, is Ohio State at noon too?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah, we had this discussion yesterday.
I know you're excited about it.
Remember I had that text. Telling me what, as I said, what game we'd be watching.
Oh, for sure. I didn't need the text to confirm that with Miss Lisa texting you and going, I don't even know why you have this discussion. You know exactly what game we're watching.
So even if I wanted to go into another room and watch the South Carolina Clemson game, which I will watch directly afterwards and be able to skip the commercials and be able to enjoy it just as much as other people, believe it or not. And
I mean, only if you don't know what the score is.
I don't care.
See, I can't. If I'm watching a game that is already over and I already know the score, I'm watching the game as a coach. I'm watching it as an analyst. I'm watching it X's and O's and how many runs, passes,
bounce,
etc.
So you can't do that instead. That sounds like joy to you.
I can't get super jacked up about the dramatics of a game that I already know the outcome to, right?
Well, in this case, you're not a fan of either team, so you absolutely could do that.
No, it's not. Even when it's my team, like if I am unavailable to watch a Saints game, which like once a season, there's a Saints game, usually like a Thursday night game or a Monday night game, where I probably had already something on the schedule, and it's like, all right, I got to do this thing. I'm a big guy, a big commitment guy. If I commit, I'm a big commitment guy when it comes to that kind of stuff. If I commit to something, if I'm locked into doing something on a weekend, and it's there's a Saints game, but it's an important thing, I'll follow through and I'll do the thing. But I'm also going to tell you, even if it's like a bud's wedding, I'm following the game the best I can. Like, it's going to be playing on the cell phone, no sound on, and I'll take a peep at the phone. I may excuse myself to go to the restroom 15 to 17 times during your event, just to go watch a handful of plays and kind of keep checked up with what's happening and when. But if I see the end of a game, if I see the score of a game, win or lose, it's not going to evoke the same emotion out of me as watching it live with the game on the line. It's not gonna bring that same adrenaline out of me as if I'm watching that game live with the results still up in the air. Like, I already know the Saints won or lost this game. So Derek Carr having the ball down three with a minute and a half left to play, if I'm watching that game live, I'm all the way up. I'm ready to roll. I'm to the moon. But if I'm watching that game on replay, if I'm watching that game on replay, if I'm watching that game, and I know the score already, I can't get jacked. I can't get popped up about a game that I already know. Well, they lose. I mean, they're not scoring here. I already know that. So I'm a watch it live guy. Now, you have an advantage, great one, in that you will be at the house for this, meaning that should you elect to do so, you can isolate yourself from the rest of the world. You can avoid social media.
Yeah, there's
you can turn your phone off.
There's still one problem with that, which I do all that anyway, because everyone knows, don't call the house, don't text the house, don't do anything when the Buckeyes are on. Not my rule. But avoiding the bottom line,
that's
the problem.
Right, the ticker.
Yeah. And
forgot the damn ticker.
As a multitasker, it's hard not to pay attention to everything that's going on everywhere at once. So it's really hard to not do that. Now, I suppose you could find something to block the bottom part of the TV.
How committed are you? Which, for the record, I might. Now, okay, let me take that back. I would not. And the reason I would not, and I don't know how Miss Lisa feels about it, and as she is, you and I don't necessarily always believe in arbiters, but I feel like Miss Lisa is absolutely the arbiter of television.
Oh no,
on Saturdays
she's the boss.
Yeah,
I mean there's no arbiter. That's she wasn't elected. She declared herself such, and that's fine. When it comes to Ohio State Buckeye stuff, fine, and I'm okay with that. I mean, some people were like, your wife watches. Yeah, she watched whether I'm there or not. So I mean, she is boss over that particular room. I could go to another room, but that's the big TV. And if I want to watch the game, I want to watch it on
would
the big
she,
TV.
Would she be on board with, even if it's only for a day, would she be on board with creating a multiple television setup?
No, I could do that. I've got plenty of TV.
Oh, see, that's the move.
But I don't want to.
Why?
I don't want to. I want to dedicate my time and my attention to that particular game, and then I will do the same to the next game. I mean, even though the game's going on at the same time, I will watch the next game and dedicate my time to that game also.
Did you watch the Moon Knight series?
Yes.
On Disney? Okay. I have diagnosed ADHD, okay? And I feel like Moon Knight in that a solid chunk of the time, the ADHD is a kryptonite. Like, it's a problem, right? Because I got to get this thing done, but my attention is just constantly demanded in other places. And one of the reasons somebody asked on the stream the other day about my tattoo. I have the word focused written in my dad's handwriting, tattooed on the inside of my left forearm. And I put it there so that whenever I am feeling myself being distracted and pulled away in different directions, I have it there so that I can look at it, and it kind of serves as my focal point to go, hey man, like you gotta handle this, right? Yeah, I mean that plus assistance from therapists and doctors and medication and all that. Like it's a combo, four hit combo. It's a combo of stuff I got to do, but most of the time it's a holdback, right? It's a weakness. It is something that I have to actively be cognizant of and working on. But every now and then, that switch flips, and what is a weakness to me day to day becomes an absolute superpower. And Saturdays are one of those days when there's 174 college football games taking place around these great United States. And I have got 7 televisions going in the bro cave at the Casa de Love. On Saturdays, my ADHD becomes a superpower because I can have a game on the big TV, 2 games on the smaller TVs, 2 games on the computer monitors, a game on the tablet, a game on the phone, and I can tell you just about what is happening in any given game. All right, I got Clemson driving over here. South Carolina just scored. Kansas is up 3 on BYU, and they've got the ball back. They've got an opportunity to bleed the clock down under 2 minutes, 2 first downs to win it. Like, my ADHD on Saturdays becomes a superpower.
You make your own red zone. And I can do that, and I do that on occasion. In this case, I don't want to. In this case, I choose not to.
We're talking rivalry day.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was Ohio State, Purdue, Clemson, South Carolina, you going two screen for that setup? Like, I know obviously it's not. It's rivalry weekend. But hypothetically,
did I describe the rules to you or not? It doesn't matter who Ohio State's playing. If it's just me.
Wait. You said Ms. Lisa's going to watch the game, and I agree, and she's going to watch it on the big TV. Wonderful. I'm saying for that, if it was Ohio State Purdue on the big TV, would you 2 TV set up it for Clemson, South Carolina while the Ohio State game's going on if Ohio State's playing a game you know you're winning by 3 touchdowns?
No, I'd watch Ohio State first. And here's the reason why. Because I know I can watch them back to back, then I will get in my car and I will come to work and do a show. I've planned out my day. This is what I'm doing.
I hate noon games so much. I don't hate noon games. I am so grateful that
all the big games that I want to see just about have been at noon. It's perfect for me, and I only care about me. So, I mean, I get you hate it. You know why they're better for you? Because you do a show on Saturday in the middle of the day. So then you don't have to worry about it because your show's over.
No, that's not why at all.
I do a show in prime time on Saturday, so that's when a lot of the big games are on. So I'd rather them be on at noon.
No, I agree. It works better for you as you host the Upstate Pulse, which airs from 7 to 9 on our brother station, WORD. I get that. I understand that. For me... And I mean, yeah, personally, like 7 o'clock games are better for me. I'm on the air until 4 o'clock every Saturday. But that's not why. The reality is, somebody who's done it all, 7 o'clock games have better environments. They're just better environments. It's a louder, more raucous environment.
You know, environments only really matter if you're in it, if you're in the environment. I mean, you can watch the environment and go, man, that place is hopping. But you're not there. You're not in the middle of it. You can turn your volume down. Is the play still hopping? You're not hearing it as loud. I think environments only matter if you're in the environment.
No. You're telling me you don't pay. You're a wrestling guy, Zoe. You're a wrestling guy. You're telling me that if you watch Wednesday Night Dynamite, where there's 6,000 people in the building, and Monday Night Raw, where there's 19,000 people, you're telling me the audience doesn't impact the television watching experience?
Not really.
Oh, get out of here.
It only impacts if you're in that arena. I mean, if you're sitting in that arena and there's only 6,000, you're going, or hardly anybody there, you're going, why is there nobody here? If you're in there in the middle of a packed place, like a pay-per-view or PLE, and you're looking around going, man, this is cool. But it's not the same when you're sitting in your living room.
No.
Definitely not the same when you're sitting in your living room.
No. I think of all the disagreements we have, this one's going towards the top of the disagreement power rankings. You're telling me that if you turn on a game that's got Willie B at 7:15 with the lights dancing and sandstorm blasting at 7:30 after the Gamecocks have been cock-a-doodle-doing it in the parking lot. Getting the liquid courage rolling all day long. You got Darude blasting. The lights are flickering. You're telling me that's got the same juice, the same gas, the same emotion in your heart of hearts as it does at noon when the boys are still waking up? Come on.
It does. Here's the thing. If the only thing that it could invoke is regret for not being there. Wow, that looks like that's fun. I wish I was there. I'm not. So I can't truly experience what's going on. Those people look like they're having fun, but I'm not having the same fun watching it as I would being in the middle of it.
You know how I can prove that's not true? I think I can prove it. Remember the COVID bubble? Sports were boring. I mean, they were sports in that they were great. And I said one of the best things for me during the COVID bubble was that you got more focus on the sport. Right? Like it was just, the camera's just always on the floor.
The best thing was all the crazy people were off the roads, and the roads were, I could get here so
fast. Well, I mean, as far as sitting at home watching television, as far as sitting at home watching TV, the COVID era, the COVID bubbles that MLB and NFL and NBA and college ball and all that played in, the COVID bubble did have one benefit for me, and it was that I got to actually watch. They're like, it was watching the game. And I said this about the NBA specifically. I enjoyed the NBA COVID bubble, which I wish I didn't have to. I wish we didn't have to. But I enjoyed the NBA COVID bubble because we got to watch these basketball players play basketball the way that I do when I go down to the local Y and play with the boys, right? There's not 17,000 people getting jacked up for me dunking down at the, you know what I mean. There's not 17,000 people. It's just me and the boys, and you got to play basketball. You got to set picks. You got to move around. You got and there's no glory to the public. There's only pride in what you're doing on the court. And that was the bubble. It was great. Like, the boys were just playing the way that we played down at the Y, and I thought there was something special about that. But as a fan, what I loved the most about it was that we really got to dial in on the game. There weren't all these distractions about bands and cheerleaders and drunk fans taking their shirts off. There wasn't all of that. It was just the game, and I thought that was spectacular. But you're telling me COVID mania in the WWE, COVID mania was as entertaining for you as WrestleMania 30 in the New Orleans Silverdome, brother? No, it wasn't nearly as entertaining without engagement from the outside world. You're telling me the Royal Rumble with no fans had the same energy as when Edge dropped, "You think you know me," and that place came unglued? Come on, even you got to admit it's better when the fans are involved.
I think you're missing the point. Yeah, it's great when the fans are involved if you're in with the fans. If you're at home, you can control the volume.
You are as entertained by COVID mania as regular WrestleMania.
That's not what we're talking about.
It is.
No, you're twisting it. If you're in the crowd, it's amazing.
I am asking you.
If you're at home, you control the volume of the crowd.
As the viewer.
So you're not...
As the viewer who watches WrestleMania, were you as entertained by COVID mania as you were by a regular WrestleMania?
You've seen me in live places. Would you be able to tell the difference?
That's why I'm asking you and not stating that I could tell that you were. Were you?
It's about the product on the field, not the people in the stands.
So he can't get an answer. I get it.
That is the answer. I'm there, or I'm at home to watch the product on the field. I could care less if Joey's getting drunk in the third row. I could care less.
Joey B catching strays.
I could care less if little Bobby just threw up in his drink cup. I could care less if the line is like out the. I don't care about all that. I'm there to watch the game. Or if I'm at home, I'm there to watch the game.
Every game involving top 25 teams should be at night. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, after some technical issues, the live stream is up and running. You can join it at facebook.com/thefanupstate or by searching and subscribing to The Fan Upstate on YouTube. Also, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, and The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. If you're one of them there Gen Zers, if you're a Twitcher, if you've ever watched somebody play video games on Twitch for entertainment, you might as well come hang out with us in the mornings.
Oh, it kills me. Watching my grand, we've been playing Spyro, and it kills me.
What a throwback Spyro is.
They just dropped it on Game Pass, all three of them, and I never played the other two. But
oh, that might be a flashback to young Rob Brown experience there.
Yeah, and so I'm teaching her to play that, but she cannot turn the camera correctly, and it drives me nuts. I hate watching someone else play, even when they're related to me. I'm like, would you please just turn the camera? I am, Papa. It's like, no, you're not. I'm genuinely getting frustrated over an ability of a six-year-old to turn a camera.
We were having a discussion during the break that Lonzo goes to bat for his people, all right? Lonzo goes to battle for his people. The idea that I will go to battle for my people, Zoe, is chewing out his six-year-old granddaughter because she can't operate a video game third-person camera is hilarious. Objectively hilarious.
Yeah, gaming is totally different. I'm trying to teach her, and you got to find a method of teaching. Some people, when you're teaching them, it's just like training someone at work. Some need a little coddling. Some need a, hey, good job, man.
Some need a kick in the ass.
And some need a little.
You're saying your six-year-old granddaughter needs a kick in the ass sometimes?
I don't want to say adversarial. It's more of.
But it's not.
It's more of a talk stuff to somebody, and that's what she's motivated by.
I mean, so are you, so I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. All right. We got a lot of stuff we're going to get to here on the radio program today. We'll let you know, a brief programming note. Rashad Beard does have a meeting with M today, so he is going to be moved to tomorrow. We will have Rashad Beard on the show tomorrow at 8:40, but we will have Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock as usual. We'll talk South Carolina Gamecock football with Lulu Kessin at 8. We will have Hayden S. Mario at 9, and we will have Fight Club with the great Lonzo coming up at 9:20 this morning with no shortage of pro wrestling, MMA. Are we talking Miocic Bones today?
No, because of the dust up earlier in the week. I'm done with that weekend. We are talking all wrestling. There's a pay-per-view this weekend from AEW, and then there's Survivor Series the following week, but we won't be here, so we're going to go ahead and predict that.
Oh, too. God, 2 weeks out?
Yes.
Oh, that's going to make it tough.
Well, I mean,
that makes some of them tough.
Some of the matches are set, and there's a couple predicted matches that I think will happen. But the AEW thing happens this Saturday, so
okay. I'll save my AEW take till we get there. But 9:20 Fight Club.
We've had this discussion off the air, and if we have it on the air, it might cost us some things, but that's okay.
I mean, listen, I you got to do what you got to do, and I hope not. I hope not, but I got to say what I got to say, because as always, I'm a man of the people. So we'll get to that coming up at 9:20. I do have some other stuff that I'll get to. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, so, but I am. I was tagged, in fact, who was it? Was it Steven? I don't know, whoever it was that tagged me last night in a video on Twitter. So that I need to share.
It's Zach. It's right
is
there.
Is it Zach?
It's
Zach right okay. There. Well, I have my stream is minimized over there because I had other stuff going on trying to figure out my life.
He thinks of the Armada as one big
hive
Armada.
Mind.
Yeah.
Hive mind. I have a video that I'm going to put up on the stream. It's from social media, all right? And I want to show this to you, Lonzo, and I just want your reaction to what we are watching here, okay? This video is a video that comes from a practice of the Florida State University Seminoles, okay?
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. I'm not even going to play by play it. I just want you, you know what? I want you to play by play it, great one. I want you to tell me your thoughts in real time, all right? This is a tackling drill from the Noles, and this is what they put on the internet.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, wait. We're not done. Here comes another one.
Okay, all right. So it's one of those where you face each other, you turn away, you go back 5 yards, and you come back. There's a defender and there's a runner of the ball.
Yeah, it's kind of Oklahoma drilly, right? It's kind of Oklahoma drilly. It's not the classic Oklahoma drill. They put a cone. The ball carrier and the tackler stand heel to heel. They both run 5 yards in the opposite direction.
Oh, this is so bad.
They turn around and run at each other and between the two cones. Let me see if I can come up with the reason that maybe this isn't as bad as it looks.
They don't seem to be going full contact. I don't think they're supposed to tackle or anything, but I don't understand the purpose of this drill.
And that's my thing. And listen, We there's a lot of drills that the common us are going to watch and maybe not necessarily be able to say, oh, the point of this drill is that, right? I wonder if the point of this drill maybe is it more ball security or pursuit angle. And I know it's not great radio because those of you that are purely listening on radio can't see it, but all you need to know is ball carrier tackler, they run 5 yards on a diagonal, they run back at each other, and then the ball carrier tries to get by the tackler.
I don't think it's pursuit angle, because I think you would do that from a further distance.
Well, so in the old pursuit angle drill that's pretty classic amongst football teams, they will line up the defense in the defense, right? Like, you'll line up in your base defense, and then the offense will run a play, and it's usually like a skeleton crew, and based on where the ball goes, you take your pursuit angle. So if the ball goes to the right, if you're the defensive end, you know your pursuit angle is, back and 30 yards past wherever you are. That's your pursuit angle to get there, whatever. And everybody's got a distance behind the ball that is their pursuit angle based on where the ball carrier is. My second thought is maybe this is a ball security drill, because you'll notice that, especially in the clip that just ran there, when the ball carrier goes backwards, though, there is a dude back behind him wearing a boxing glove that tries to punch the ball out, right?
Yeah, I missed that initially.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm wondering if this is, here's what I do know. For a 1-9 football team, I would never have let this hit the internet. Right? For a 1-9 football team, I would not have let a video of defender. If that is their effort at a tackle, it's the most embarrassing thing. Like, maybe I'm hoping for the Noles' sake, it's a drill that teaches ball carriers to break down a defender, right? If you're a ball carrier, if you can get to the point where you can stutter step and you can break down a defender, meaning you can get the defender to sink down into the hips and stop his lateral movement. You take away his ability as he approaches you to flow left or flow right to stop you. You want to break him down so there's no left or right movement. There is only forward. If I can get you to break down, I go back to having the advantage. If the ball carrier moving towards me knows and can adjust to me going left or right as a ball carrier while staying in forward motion, he has the advantage. But if I can get that defender to break down, to stop movement left and right, and make it where he is only capable of forward momentum, now as the ball carrier, I have the advantage back, because I get to determine, am I going left or right? And he has to react to that. And that split-second reaction time may be the difference between a good, solid foundational tackle and an arm tackle I can run through. So I hope that that's what this drill is for, is breaking down a defender. Right, right. But if I was Florida State, I never would have let this see the light of day.
Why are they practicing inside?
I mean, that was Mike Norvell's decision, I guess.
I know, but why are they practicing inside? It's Florida. Are they also coddled to the point where it's too hot outside so they can't be outside practicing?
Why? Okay,
was there inclement weather? I mean, I'm just curious.
I don't know what's the answer, but let's assume it's 72 and sunny as always. What is the holdup about people practice? Is this just a that ain't how it's supposed to be mentality?
You are talking about coddling, and it looks like you're being coddled playing the practicing inside. Let's get outside.
So it is a that ain't how it's supposed to be. Y'all supposed to be tough.
I'm just
Big Ten football.
Rob, maybe this is part of the problem. I'm just saying.
Clemson practices inside
all the time.
South Carolina practices inside
all the time.
No, but this is one clip of one drill from one practice.
You know when they practice inside? When there's bad weather.
Oh, are you aware of Clemson's indoor outdoor practice schedule?
Well, they practice inside when there's bad weather. I'm looking through the Dallas Cowboy windows there, and it looks like the weather's probably fine.
I think there is plenty of reasons to on Florida State right now.
How quickly you defend? That's all.
It's not defend. I defend from bad takes. Okay. I'll defend anybody from bad takes.
That's what it is. They're SAWFT, and that's probably part of their problem.
I will defend from bad takes.
75 today, fellas. Let's practice inside. Don't want you to get too hot or sweaty or anything like that. Let's practice inside.
I hope your granddaughter never learns how to work a third-person video game camera. I hope she spins that thing in circles forever.
Oh, she's getting better at it.
I hope she drives you insane. All right. Noted Charleston Southern guy Joey B on the stream said, I've never been more convinced the Bucks are going to win on Saturday. CSU. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Florida State can upset Charleston Southern on Saturday.
If they practice outside, maybe.
Oh,
maybe
shut up. Will. Stop it. When we come back here in just a minute, the NFL has announced its Modern Era Hall of Fame nominees for 2025. Let's take a look at some of the guys that are on it. See who we want to eliminate from Hall of Fame contention in year number one when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I also think we ought to get rid of the damn forward pass, run the football like a man. Yeah.
What Southern accent is that? I mean, what dialect is that from?
The kind who thinks the practicing inside is for sissies.
Okay, I don't understand why my manly man interpretation is not Southern, but yours is.
Because you think that's like a genuine macho take, and I'm making fun of it.
Okay. You're making fun of the South, which I would never do.
You're making fun of the South. I literally am more Southern than you.
Well, that's absolutely, without a doubt, true. But my roots are in Kentucky, so I mean, where are your roots? Your roots are in Louisiana. I mean, so from a geographical point of view, you're absolutely right.
From a geographical and also literally have never lived outside of the area.
Yeah, but unfortunately or fortunately, I don't. It depends on your perspective. A lot of people don't believe that Florida is Southern, and mostly because because a bunch of Northern people moved down there and they lived there, and that's why there's a bunch of Northern accents
down there. Yeah. I'm in the Panhandle. It is Lower Alabama. The point here is, I am not making fun of the South. I am making fun of the old school, we got to do it this way because that's tough mentality.
So all I want to say is, and this is a full circle conversation, but part of it's not on the air and won't be, protecting your own and standing up for your guys and stuff. I'm seeing this sort of thing with your defense of Florida here, just because I said they're soft because they ain't went outside. The whole segment was to make fun of Florida State. I made fun of Florida State,
and suddenly you're coming at me.
I was going with it. I was being part of the show, part of the program, part of the team.
You're doing that thing where you've put the goalpost on wheels and attached a semi to it. The point is that
I don't think you need a semi.
I was making fun
on wheels. Anybody can move.
Of that drill because it looks awful. Okay, and then you start talking about a whole different thing. an entirely different thing. An entirely different thing. And this is where I am talking about with this old school mentality, I think, holds a lot of people back. Like, oh, if you're going to be tough, you got to do it the way we did in 1965. We didn't have no indoor practice facilities. Yeah, and I bet that sucked. You also didn't have Gatorade, and you drank water out of holes drilled in PVC pipes. Because, and scratch that.
I'm guessing they still do that, by the way.
You weren't allowed to have water during practices.
That's more like
I've watched the Junction Boys, and if you did that today, that coach would be arrested and thrown in jail. Because now we know that's a bad way to run the world.
Still,
it's a bad way.
I guarantee you that still goes on. In some of the poorer parts of every state.
There it is.
Yes.
There it is. Maybe we shouldn't glorify the way they do it in the worst places. Okay. Maybe we should say, hey, there's better ways to do it, and this is the better way to do it. We should have a Gatorade.
All right,
it's good for you.
Rob, share your wealth and go down to those poor places and buy them water.
I do. I am happy to pay taxes to schools when I ain't got kids, because that is exactly what's happening.
Next time that you make fun of anything Florida, I'm just going to back off, except for Florida Gators, okay? Because Florida Gators directly make me think of Mark Ryan, so I'm always going to make fun of that. But everything else, I'll just stay back and go, I don't know, Rob, you tell me how to think.
Once again, Lonzo's ability to make this Rob beating up Lonzo is undefeated. It's undefeated.
You completely turned on me.
No.
When we were making fun of Florida State, and everything's about me.
What I was making fun of.
It is my story, by the way.
Yes, I know it is your story. That is your story. What I was making fun of.
It's a video game reference. Some people
if you like missed it, is that hysterically.
You're right, Tracy. Gatorade's full of sugar.
Is that hysterically. Hysterically terrible looking video that Florida State allowed to go out on the internet at a point in time when they are 1-9, that they are at this point, I believe, like a 4.5-point favorite over Joey B, love you to death, bud, bad Charleston Southern team, even by Charleston Southern standards.
All I hear is go outside, nerd.
This whole thing, and listen, part of this is because when Florida State got their indoor practice facility, which was a massive project for them, something they had worked on fundraising for a very long time, I was broadcasting down in Florida.
And did they use taxpayer dollars for that?
I'm sure that partially.
Wow, that would suck to pay for that, and there's a product on the field that you get. I'm you're taking this money out of my pocket, and this is what I get?
So when they started building this facility, and I don't know if the same thing happened to you guys up here when Clemson and South Carolina built their indoor practice facilities, but there was a lot of I'm going to say and generalize and paint here with a real big brush, a lot of older football fans that were like, oh, this is soft, this is weak, practice outside, like men. And that old school boomer mentality is what Jerry Jones has right now. Look at the Dallas Cowboys, right? Like that's what happens when you are unwilling to adapt and change. Here's the thing. If you want to instruct, coach, educate, and help someone progress, the best thing you can do is to limit distractions. There is a time for increasing toughness. And when you are saying, I think this is what is being said, when you are saying, practice outside, go outside, nerd, when you are talking about getting, like, they should only practice outside, what you are saying is they need to be tougher, right? Practice in the sunshine, in the heat of Florida in August. Be tougher. There is a time and a place to work on toughness. But I also think we all acknowledge that at this point, if you're going to be a professional football player, if you're going to be a high-level college football player, gone are the days of let's put a dude missing his front teeth with crossed eyes and a cowboy collar at middle linebacker. You got to be smart as hell. Offenses are so advanced and dynamic that you got to be smart. So there's a time to train up your toughness and your stamina and your perseverance. But football is as much about being an educated football player as ever before. And if I need to make sure that my middle linebacker isn't going to get fooled every time Lenora Sellers runs a play action and get cooked like Mizzou and A&M did, bringing him outside when it's 102 degrees or it's in the middle of the rain, I can't most efficiently coach him in that spot. I can't be out there going, if this, then this. If you see, then expect. If you react to, then do this next. I can't do that as efficiently as if we are inside, where there's no noise, where there's no, oh, it's hot, I'm dying, where there's no distractions, where everything is, every little control is up to the coach. And that is true about Clemson and South Carolina. It's true about Ryan Day in Ohio State and Kirby Smart at Georgia. Every coach wants an indoor practice facility because you can coach more efficiently inside of it than outside. That's just a fact.
And you can hide from cheaters and evil media.
I mean, that's, I'm sure that is the take of some people. I'm sure that is the take of a lot of coaches. Absolutely. It is going to be harder for people to get my eyeballs or get their eyeballs on my product if we're inside four walls and a roof. But if I asked you, Zoe, to take one of our lovely producers and make them better, and I came in here before you were ready to teach them how to be a producer, and I cranked that AC up to 92, and I stood over in the corner, You wouldn't be able to do it. You'd go, this is not productive. I can't coach in this scenario.
I have no idea what you just said. I hope it wasn't dumpable. Usually I can
understand.
It was just sounds.
Okay. It was the sake of making obnoxious noises into the microphone because I know you're a big fan.
And I'm not doing the thing that you think I'm doing, but your scenario is unrealistic because
there it is.
It's never been that cold
there
in
it
here.
Is.
It's so hot in here. I think you're just projecting, wishing it was that cold in here.
The hypothetical killer returns.
Well, no. The hypothetical killer is you adding all these other parts to this one thing.
Yeah, that's how hypotheticals work.
Where I just decided to help you. You invited me to make fun of something, and I came at it from a different angle, and you don't like the angle.
That's exactly right.
I am not going to apologize for that. I gave you a different perspective. I guess you just wanted me to make fun of it the way you were making fun of it.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a bit of a sore spot for me, and it's a bit of a sore spot because of what I was talking about a minute ago. When I watched the construction process of this indoor practice facility in Tallahassee, when I was covering Florida State down in Destin, which is why I talk about that team. Of the teams that I am familiar with over the years, Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina are the top four. Alabama, LSU, and Auburn after that, because those are the markets I broadcasted in. Clemson and South Carolina obviously at the top because that's where I am right now. Florida State next, because I was 2 hours from Tallahassee. That was the team that broadcasted in my market and on my station. And Alabama LSU, because I was on in Mobile, Alabama and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I covered those teams as well. And so when I watched this practice facility go up, and when I was watching Florida State go through the fundraising process and trying to get boosters on board, there was a lot of people who called the show back in the day, and they were like, this is just the sissification of America. We're making these kids soft. So it's like, that's a dumb take. Sorry.
They had that accent in Florida?
I don't think you understand what I mean when I say the Florida panhandle. It's Pickens County on the beach. All right? And I say that with all due respect to Pickens County because, again, I grew up, you know what we were? Anderson with margaritas. That's what we were. I'm not like there's Destin, which was this little like on the beach tourism paradise. And then there's where I grew up in Shalimar. And you got to say it that way. Shalimar. All right. So yes.
I love the band Shalimar. They're really good. They had a hit named Dancing in the Sheets. I believe that was Shalimar.
Was a band named Shalimar?
Yeah.
I'll be danged. I wonder if that's where we got the name. Probably not.
No, they're not that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point here is you hit a soft spot that I thought it healed.
Really? Really? Huh.
Yeah, it's just a bad take. It's just a bad take from people who don't understand. It's just a bad take from people who have never coached. That's it. It's just a bad take. What? They're soft. They ain't going to get it. It's like, Do you think that Mike Norvell, okay, that's a bad example. Do you think that at the time, Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Bowden know less about coaching football players than Bale from Shalimar?
By the way, thanks, Zach. This is all your fault. And I researched that Shalimar did put out the song Dancing in the Sheets. I just want to be accurate.
What year?
Oh, dude.
How'd you not think to look at that? We just talked about how old they are.
Well, it was in the 90s, I believe, or late 80s.
Okay, well, Shalimar, Florida is older than that. So.
Well, yeah, that's what they said.
Sweet. I got a band that released a single named after my hometown. That must be it. All right. Now, when we come back in the next hour of the show.
1983.
That song's older than me. When we come back, barely, in the next hour, we'll do the water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know right out of the gate. We will do the NFL Hall of Fame class in segment number two. Then segment three, open to you guys, whatever you want to talk about. That is not domed practice facilities. 8 o'clock, straight up, we'll be joined by the lovely Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News. Talk some South Carolina Gamecock football with Lulu coming up at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, Hayton Ass Mario will join us to talk NFL, and maybe we sprinkle in some NBA. Lonzo's Fight Club at 9:20. Rashad Beard, 8:40 tomorrow on the show. All of that after Lonzo does this here, Sports Flash. Don't do it tough. Do it with toughness. Aggression. Like you practice outside.
The Atlanta Braves starting pitcher Chris Sale was named the National League Cy Young Award winner last night, awarded the league's best pitcher by Baseball Writers of America. Sale's comeback season received 26 of 30 first place votes ahead of Zach Wheeler's four. Sale finished 18-3 with a 2.38 ERA and 225 strikeouts. Indiana Fever phenom Caitlin Clark will not join the new women's unrivaled 3-on-3 league. According to reports, the league announced its six teams and most of the players yesterday for the league that will play in Miami in January. Hey, tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels continue their run in the playoffs against the Spartanburg Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. The Fan, Upstate.